About that tonight, the decision for Christ and how to lead somebody to call upon the name of the Lord. As we get started tonight, let's just take a look at Acts 16, 31 is really the main verse, but let's go back in the passage a little bit. And of course, this is the story of the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas in Philippi taking the gospel into a new city for the very first time. And we read in verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" All right, so that is a wonderful verse. I've given that to you as one of your memory verses. By the way, I do have some memory verses for you this week. And I just want to let you know, I made a mistake when I gave the verses to Tina. I gave her the wrong reference. And so the Romans 3:18 verse, that one is not one of your memory verses, okay? So you can just discard that one. I was intending for a different verse. But you do have Titus 3:5-6. So that's the one that I would like you to work on memorizing this week. But anyway, a little side note there. Acts 16:31 is another one you should have memorized. That's an important verse, very, very clear and plain, isn't it? What must we do to be saved? We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the promise of salvation that we are given. Now, let's just talk about this Philippian jailer for a minute, because I've often wondered, you know, in verse 30, he asked a great question, didn't he? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh, this guy's a pagan, you know, jailer. I mean, Paul, the gospel has just arrived in their city. He's asking a great question. How did he know the right question to ask? Yeah, the Bible doesn't really tell us, but my presumption would be that the Philippian jailer had heard some gospel preaching from Paul and Silas up to this point, whether, you know, they had been preaching in that city for a while. Maybe they were preaching in the jail that night. We don't really know, but somewhere he had heard some gospel truth. And so this man sprang in. Notice in verse 29, it says he came trembling. This is a man who is already trembling before God. He has already been impressed with the fear of the Lord. He is under conviction of his sins. And so when he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas just give him the simple answer. Just look to Jesus, okay? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But now I want you to notice verse 32. Notice it says, "They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." You know what that means? That means that before they encouraged him to make a decision for Christ, if you will, they also took some time to make sure he really understood the gospel. Okay, so, and that's something that we've been learning in this class about personal evangelism, that if we're going to lead somebody to a decision for Christ, we want them to really be making a real decision for Christ that involves comprehension. Heart comprehension of the truths of the gospel, because that's what saves us, okay? We are not saved just by some nebulous belief in God. As we have learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are saved by believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and he was buried and he rose again and he was seen, the gospel of a crucified and risen Savior. We must believe that he is risen from the dead, as we read in that Romans chapter 10. So, We are saved by belief in that gospel message. And so here we see that Paul and Silas, they went home with him, and they took some time to make sure he was comprehending the gospel. That's what he's talking about, the word of the Lord. And they preached to his family as well, and they got saved. And verse 33 says, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. And it's verse 34 says, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. They became believers that night and were born again and were even baptized the same night. And this, of course, was the beginnings of the church at Philippi. So anyway, I thought we'd start there tonight as we get into this outline about the decision for Christ. And so here we are at this point in the gospel outline, and here's our basic outline for this part of the gospel presentation. And again, this is just a helpful way of outlining some of the things that we want to do. We want to, there's more than one way to approach this. I don't always approach it exactly the same way with people. But this is a good approach. If you have sufficient time, and if the person shows sufficient interest, then this is a good approach. I'm going to show it to you. There may be some times where you have to, you know, alter it to some degree. But the basic outline, pray, confront, review or respond, help or ask. And that's not really original with me. I adapted it from one of the soul winning classes that I've taken, the Netcasters class. We'll get into that outline in just a minute, but let me give you a few reminders here, okay? First of all, urge, but don't push a decision. There's a difference between urging and pushing someone. You can push somebody, and that means that you can get them to jump through your hoops, whatever you're asking them to do externally, without their heart really being engaged, which, of course, is meaningless. So we don't want to push. That's unnatural. What we want to do is urge. We want to appeal to somebody with seriousness and urgency. You need to do this. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to be saved, and you want to invite them to do that, but don't push. Now, when I'm talking to people, one of the ways that I will try to assess whether this person is ready to make a decision for Christ is, first of all, as I have been teaching you throughout the class, you want to make good use of dialogue and diagnostic questions along the way. All along the way in our gospel presentation, we've been learning to ask some good questions that will allow you to hear from that person's own mouth, in their own words, what's going on in here, whether or not they are internalizing the gospel message. So you want to make some good use of diagnostic questions and dialogue. This is not just a one-way conversation, let me tell you everything you need to know, and now let's pray. You've got to engage people in two-way communication. Good communication is two-way communication as much as possible, and so you want to do that. Another thing that you want to do is you want to be especially on the lookout as you're having this conversation, as you're asking these diagnostic questions, for indications that that person is under conviction of sin. And I've taught you some of those things. You know, for example, if that person is freely and of their own, out of their own heart, they're beginning to name their sin problems. If they're beginning to identify the sin issues in their lives that are an offense to God, these types of things are really good indicators that this person is getting the point that, you know what, I have a sin problem. I have a problem with sin, and I am in danger of God's judgment. I need to be saved. And so we want to look for those indications of conviction, because nobody is going to get saved unless they first understand in their heart that they are lost, right? Okay, so then we've got to take the time, like the Philippian jailer. This guy is trembling, okay? This guy knows he needs to be saved. Just tell me, what must I do to be saved? It's not often you get a witnessing opportunity where somebody starts it out like that. That would be wonderful. It doesn't happen all the time, but if you meet somebody in that condition, that person, you know, that's looking like some pretty ripe fruit there, okay? But one other thing that I do at this particular point, in addition to these things that I've listed here for you, to urge but not push. When I'm having a conversation with somebody, and early in the conversation, remember, I try to find out what is that person depending upon for heaven? Where faith is like an anchor. So what do they got their anchor, sunk into? Is it good works or their, religion, or what is it? What are they trusting in? Okay. If they give me an answer that makes it pretty clear that they are not saved, I think I've been a pretty good person, whatever, an answer that really indicates that they do not understand and have not believed the gospel. Then we start into the gospel conversation. But if I get to this point in the conversation, what I'll say a lot of times to somebody is, just to be very transparent with that person, sir, based upon what we've been talking about here today, I really believe you need to be saved, okay? I really believe that you need to make this decision to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But as I'm saying that, I am looking for some kind of indication or resonance or agreement in that person that they have also identified that as their need. And many times when I talk to people, and I'll say that, I mean, they're listening, but they're not with me, okay? And so I would not be wise then to go on to push that person to, say some words that they probably don't really believe. Okay, so you have to exercise discernment. You need to urge, you need to appeal, but don't push. You say, boy, that's kind of a fine balance, and it is, but that's why, as we learned in Colossians 4, we have to have the wisdom of God to walk in wisdom toward them that are without and to engage people in wisdom in these gospel conversations. So you wanna offer salvation, but and you want to urge them to trust Christ and appeal to them to be saved. But really, don't bring the conversation to the decision point unless you believe that person is truly comprehending and is convicted. Now, let me also say here, point number two, don't be discouraged if it takes time to get to this point with someone or if you have to go over it more than once. And, that's very true, especially in today's society. And this is true all over the world, okay? For example, in Thailand, okay? People over there, they are on a different wavelength. It's going to take time to build in the typical Buddhist / animist or whatever they are, a comprehension of the gospel. It's not going to be one 15-minute conversation, okay? Unless that person has already received some truth. But really the same thing is becoming true here in America, as we do not have that same biblical foundation of our society as we used to have, as that foundation has been undermined. And we are moving into a post-Christian society where many people are largely ignorant of Bible truth or have rejected it or scorn it, then it's going to take some effort to build gospel comprehension, and we have to be patient. We have to be willing to work with people over time. That first conversation may not be the fruitful one. It may be several conversations down the road. Remember, what do we read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23? The good soil is that hears and understands. The word understand, again, means to comprehend the word of God. That's the kind of person who truly gets saved, is the person who hears and comprehends scripture truth. Okay, so don't be discouraged if that person doesn't get saved in the first conversation. Just be willing to continue conversing. All right, so those are a couple of reminders, but now let's go into this part of the presentation, the transition from the promise of salvation. This is where we left off last time. You would say something like this: my friend, based on what we have learned from God's word today, If you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, placing your dependence on him and him alone to save you from sin and hell, he will forgive your sins, credit his righteousness to your account, and give you eternal life. You're just summing up there what you have talked about in the gospel. If you will believe, God, Christ will save you. And then you can make a statement like this. Okay, since this decision determines eternal life in heaven or eternal death, separation from God in hell, the lake of fire, without Christ, would it be okay if we just took a moment right here for us to bow our heads while I lead in prayer? Just ask the person, can we take a moment to pray? And I think this has served several important purposes. First of all, because you want to ask God right then to save that person. You want to bathe this moment in prayer. Okay, trusting that you've been praying before you went out to have this conversation. But even as you're going through the conversation, and even right now, this is a great time to pray. Secondly, you're also showing an illustration to that person of what it means to pray as they listen to you, engage in conversation with God, person to person. You're providing them an example of what you're encouraging them to do. They may not have a clue what it means to pray. Number three, you're also emphasizing the seriousness of the decision. That, you know what, we're going to take a moment right here and we're going to bow our heads before the God of this universe and we're going to talk to him about this matter of where you are going to spend eternity. That really kind of emphasizes the seriousness of what we're talking about here. And then number four, you can also, while you're praying, review the concept of saving faith. Dear Heavenly Father, please help my friend here today to put his trust in Christ alone for salvation. Some people say you shouldn't teach when you pray. I think it's perfectly okay to teach when you pray. Okay, that's my personal opinion. I think I can back that up from God's word. But anyway, for example, many of the prayers of Paul he records in the epistles for our edification. So there's things we can learn from his prayers. But there's some reasons why this is good to pray right here, okay? Then after you pray, next thing, confront. You need to ask the very important questions. And this, I didn't put it on your handout, but you really want to kind of start out again this way. Based upon what we have learned today from the Word of God, remind that person, you know, we're not talking here about how you feel. But based upon what the Bible says, what we have learned today from the Bible, do you believe that Jesus Christ can save you from sin and hell? Ask the person that question, okay? Yes or no? If the person says yes, then the next question, do you believe that Jesus Christ would save you from sin and hell if you asked him to? You believe that he is willing. First question was, is he able? Second question, is he willing? Okay? And if they say yes, okay, so then here's the third question. Since the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save you from sin and hell, are you willing to ask him to save you right now? That's the decision point. That is the decision for Christ. Okay? Now, there are several possible answers to that question. It's really a yes or no question, but people come up with different answers besides yes or no. But if the answer is yes, then you want to take a moment to review the basic points of the gospel and lead that person to pray. Again, that's kind of what we just looked at in Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer says, what must they do to be saved? They say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they declared unto him the word of the Lord. So they took just a little more time to make sure he understood the gospel. Okay, so just take a moment to review the points of the gospel, the basis of what they're doing here, to make sure they understand it and they believe it. And I think one of the best ways to do this, and this is something I try to do more and more, is ask that person to explain the gospel to you. Boy, if they're able to articulate the gospel to you, that's really, really good. That shows comprehension, okay, understanding. And so you might just, you know, if, yes, I am willing. Okay, great. Well, in just a moment, you know, we can do that. But first of all, let me just make sure you understand. Okay, I just want to take another moment to make sure you understand. Tell me, why do you need to ask Jesus Christ to save you? Okay, just a question like that. And let them articulate the gospel back to you to make sure they understand it. Because I'm a sinner, okay? And what did Jesus Christ do to make it possible for your sins to be forgiven? Well, he died on the cross for me. Okay, so you're getting them to repeat, articulate the gospel. All right, so that's a great way to make sure they understand. And then you would lead that person to pray. Now, we're going to come back to the yes answer in just a minute, but if the answer is no, let's talk about that. If the answer is no, not really. Well, maybe not today. Oh, here's one that I've heard quite a few times. I don't think I'm ready yet. I don't think I'm ready yet. That is an interesting answer, because what that tells you is that there is some awareness of sin, but unwillingness to let go. There's no repentance, in other words, and that person's not ready to be saved. There can be different ways people will say no, but if the answer is no, I'm not willing to ask Christ to save me right now from sin and hell, find out why. Again, this is, you got to listen. You got to do some listening here. Okay, well, would you mind if I ask, why not? Well, because, you know, blah, 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 blah. And let them explain that to you. Listen, and then respond appropriately. Because it could be that there is still some lack of understanding. Something that needs to be cleared up in that person's mind. Because it is through the mind that the gospel reaches the heart. You understand that? We're not saved by head knowledge, but we must comprehend, and it goes through the mind to reach the heart. So we may have to take a little bit more time to explain. So you want to clear up any misunderstandings, and you want to provide answers to objections or deflections or questions. And actually, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks after this talking about objections and responses. That's one of the most important parts of this class. You know, what are some good answers to some of the things that people will say at this point or at other points in the conversation that you may have? Different things that people will come out with. And so we'll be spending a couple of weeks on that. So you want to clear those things up and then ask again. Give them another opportunity once you have that cleared up. All right, then what do you do? Okay, so if the answer is still no, I think at that point, you're at the point where you need to wind up the conversation. So you want to thank that person for their willingness to talk with you about this subject, for their kind attention. Urge that person to give the matter further consideration. Take some time to think about what we've talked about today. And as a matter of fact, you know what? You can ask Christ to save you at any time. He can hear you at any time. When you speak to him. So just give this a little bit more thought. Take a little bit of time today to read over this information here in this gospel tract that I'm leaving with you. Encourage that person to think about it, to continue to think about it. Make sure you give him gospel literature, him or her. I say him. I'm not just talking about witnessing to men, okay? Give that person gospel literature. And the next one I put into bold type. Now, why do you suppose I did that? Because it's important? Yeah, I want to emphasize it. Okay. Ask if you could meet again for further Bible study. Because that person may need to have more opportunities to hear the gospel. I've said this to a couple of people, to several people really, but for example, we have a men's basketball ministry on Monday nights that Pastor Nate leads, and You know, one reason that I really love that ministry, and it's been a fruitful ministry, is because you have men coming in week after week, and they continue to hear the Word of God week after week after week. You know, it's kind of unusual nowadays to have an opportunity to share God's Word with unsaved people week after week after week. So that's a great opportunity to help develop comprehension, gospel understanding in people's hearts. And so, you know, we want to have further opportunities to talk. And so keep the door open for further conversation, but then bring the conversation to an end. Now, if you do have an opportunity to have Bible study, let me tell you about some resources. Here we go. There are many good evangelistic Bible studies available, and I've listed a few out here for you. These are not the only ones. I'm not, you know, totally endorsing every single one. Any one of these things that you would use is just a tool that you would use as a framework upon which to continue building gospel understanding in that person. But I'm talking here specifically about evangelistic Bible studies. There are many discipleship courses and many studies that you can use to disciple a new Christian, somebody who has been saved. But there are also some that are designed to present the gospel in more detail over time to bring that person to a gospel decision. Okay? One of the best ones is the Inquirer's Bible Study. I have some in my office. It's called The Exchange, I think, as well, is another name for it. And this is a series of four lessons. So you would meet with this person four times, and it's about the gospel. And so it's supposed to help that person come to a better understanding of the gospel, what it means, the decision, and to bring them to that point of decision. So that's a good resource. One by One is one that's been around for a long time. It's been used by a lot of people. How many have ever seen that? I'm just wondering. Anybody ever seen One by One? Nobody has ever seen it. Okay. Well, the interesting thing about One by One is it's actually divided into two parts. It's a Bible study for new believers as well. And so you can use it either as an evangelistic Bible study or as a Bible study for a new Christian, and you just do the lessons in a different order. So it's set up that way. And I would take that person through the scripture. They have to answer questions, and then you discuss those things. And again, that brings them to a place of decision. Daily in the Word is one that I use for new Christians. It's pretty in-depth, but it does have a pretty long first lesson about the gospel. So it provides an opportunity to present the gospel in a more structured format, sit down, meet together. Operation Timothy, I haven't really used that one myself. I'm just a little bit familiar with it. But there are others. But if you want help with any of that, you can certainly talk to me. But having an opportunity to meet with somebody over time and just to share with them the scripture, that's a wonderful opportunity that we want to take advantage of. All right, and then we move on to the next point, which is help. Okay, and we're coming here back to that yes answer. All right, so again, you asked him, would you be willing to ask Christ to save you from sin and hell right now? If the answer is yes, then you need to help that person to make that decision. So how do you do that? First of all, you're going to encourage that person to call out upon the name of the Lord Jesus in prayer. So explain what it means to pray. And you've already modeled prayer for them, so they already have an understanding of that. But then also explain that we don't get saved by saying certain words in a certain way. Okay? The words are just the expression of faith in the heart. And remember, that is what saves us, is we are saved by faith. But it is a kind of faith where our heart belief is connected to our mouth, and it leads us to call upon the name of the Lord, to confess Christ with our mouths. And so you're encouraging them to do that, but but people have, you know, religions have these different ideas of prayers. A lot of prayers are rote prayers. You know, some people view prayers as like, almost like magical incantations. You know, I was at a funeral service at a liberal church a while back where the guy was talking about how John 3:16 is a great mantra. You know, that just, I was floored by that. But basically it was, I'm not going to get into that tonight. It's not the precise words, but what you believe, who you are believing in. So you want to explain that, but then encourage that person to pray on his or her own aloud. That's the best. If necessary, lead the person through a brief sinner's prayer. I've used the sinner's prayer quite a few times. I try to use it very little because I think it's best for the person to formulate his or her own prayer. It's also, and the reason I ask people to pray aloud is so that, you know, I can participate in the prayer so that I can hear whether they are understanding, okay? One thing you'll learn from listening to somebody pray is whether they really are understanding what they're praying about, okay? And so sometimes I've heard people pray and I've thought, well, I'm not sure they quite understood. Maybe I need to spend more time explaining this further. So you want to encourage them to pray on their own, if they will. But some folks just can't bring themselves to extemporize a prayer. Okay, that's just, it's not that they're not willing, but they just are not able to overcome the nervousness or whatever they feel at praying in somebody else's presence or what have you. And so, in that case, or maybe when you're working with children, maybe a sinner's prayer can be helpful. But again, you have to explain, you know, it's not the fact that you're repeating certain words, but whether you mean the words that we are saying together here. I just like to tell people, you know, hey, just speak to the Lord from your heart, because that's really what we're doing here is we're expressing faith in the heart. So just express to the Lord. He's right here in the room with us, okay? He hears you. You can talk to him just like you're talking to me. And so in a minute we're going to pray together. And I tell you what, let's do this. Why don't you just tell me, what are you going to ask the Lord to do for you when we pray? And just let them explain it to you, okay? And then say, okay, well now let's bow our heads and why don't you just share that with the Lord? You know, I've heard some wonderful prayers of people just pouring their heart out to the Lord and praying way better sinner's prayers than whatever I could have come up with to help them. So I think that's really what we want to do for the most part. But I did give you a sinner's prayer, a sample prayer here. If you want to use something like this, I put that in your handout. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and that because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell. I thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid the price of my sin in full by shedding his blood and dying in my place on the cross. Because of his finished work, I ask you to wash away my sins and give me the gift of everlasting life. Thank you for saving me. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so then you've helped somebody. Now you need to ask some questions. After you praise the Lord together. That's important. But you want to ask some questions, some follow-up questions. And again, this is important because your conversation is not at an end because that person called upon the name of the Lord. That's really just the beginning, right? Because now you're discipling a new baby Christian. So you need to continue the discussion. There's a lot more that needs to be talked about. You don't want to just walk away right there and say, well, that's wonderful, brother, and have a nice day. Not at all. You want to take some time to continue working with that person. And so here's some questions that you're going to use right off the bat. Some questions to evaluate different things. First of all, whoops, I knew I shouldn't have flicked that little button on the side of my remote. Here's a good question to ask to understand whether they were sincere. Did you really mean what you just said? I would presume that they did mean it, but that's a question to evaluate sincerity. Here are a couple of questions to evaluate understanding. What did you just do, and what did God just do? And if you were to die right now, where would you go? Okay, you're evaluating understanding of the decision that they've made. And then here's a question about assurance. If you were to die 5 years from now, where would you go? Well, that can, you know, cause people to pause for a minute, think, but if they're understanding the gospel that you've shared, then they should have the right answer. And if not, you explain that to them. Decision. Now, if you had died yesterday, before you made this decision, where would you have gone? All right, so there again, you're emphasizing that it is a decision, that you were saved at a point in time. Okay, being born again is an event, like being born the first time. I mean, before you weren't, and after you are alive in Christ. And so you're born again is an event. So those are some questions. Here are some additional follow-up questions that you can use. How many times will you need to make this decision? Were you guilty in God's sight before you made this decision, and are you guilty now? All right, and then you're going to transition to assurance and discipleship, which is another lesson. We'll get to that lesson after we talk about objections and responses. Here's the homework assignment for this week. Work on your basic outline of the decision for Christ. Pray, confront, review or respond, help or ask. Just try to get that in your head and then practice this part of the gospel with a partner. Somebody that you can lead to the Lord. Okay, somebody who's already saved but will, you know, be your partner for practicing purposes. And work on that for next time. If you are in the Saturday part of this class, let me just say that we will not be meeting this Saturday. It's the first Saturday of the month, but due to some scheduling conflicts with other things going on, we're not going to be able to have the class this Saturday. So I've had to move it 2 weeks from Saturday because the following Saturday is the couples retreat. So it's going to be on February the 20th this month. So that gives you a little more time to be ready. That's the good news. The bad news is you'll have more material to have ready because we'll have more lessons. But anyway, no Saturday class this week. 2 weeks from this Saturday. That's when we'll meet. All right, we're out of time for tonight, so let's go ahead and grab our prayer sheets. Let's find somebody to pray with this evening. Divide up into small groups. We'll spend the next 15 or 20 minutes in prayer.